Oh, praise God. Praise God. I think we could all just stop and go home now and say we've been blessed already. And I'll have to tell you, as Thea ended her song today, I was thinking as a fisherman, and all I could think was, that's a keeper. That's a keeper. Oh, my gosh. God is so good. Amen. Amen. So good to see all of you and our guests today and church family. And are we online?
Online.
Okay. All right. Was Thea online? Oh, praise God. All right. Well, let's just get in. I feel like we have a word today. See what the Lord has for us on this Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Praise God. Junior, you doing okay, my friend? I love you, brother. David, Nelda, we love you. Welcome home. We love you. God bless you. All right. This is from Matthew chapter 28, 1 through 6. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Now that is powerful enough to do a runaround. Amen. We could do a runaround right now. I'm just going to share something with you real quick before I go to the next scripture. Early years of our ministry, we would travel to different places for fellowship meetings. And it so happened we went up to Tennessee. Brother and Sister Wallace, Brother and Sister North, and Darlene and I. And of course, we were there for a couple of days. And on the way home from that meeting in Memphis, we went to Memphis. On the way home, we were talking about stopping for lunch in Texarkana there at the Whataburger, because that was our halfway mark almost. But before we got there, we were so full of faith and we were full of joy. And Brother Wallace would say something, we'd just all laugh, and it had nothing to do with what he was saying about. It was just, it was hilarious, you know. And so at one point, full of faith and full of joy, and we were talking about things that we were believing for and what we wanted to see happen in our church and our family. And as Darlene always did, she had a spiral notebook that she took with her, and she wrote down everything. I remember on Monday mornings after Sunday service or Sunday afternoon, sitting in the recliner, she was trying to remember every testimony, everything that had happened in the service. She'd ask me, now, what was it so-and-so said? What was the interpretation? And I mean, she had books that she had written all of that in just to come back and reflect on. And so she got her spiral notebook out, and we started talking about things that we wanted to happen for our family. We were believing for great things, Sister North, and believing things for the church. And yes, we have seen some of those things. But I'm telling you, we can still believe for those things. And you here today, you can believe for great things and big things. And I'm telling you, if it's in line with the will of God, you'll see it happen. He's looking for somebody with faith today. And I just happen to believe if he can straighten Sister, what's her name back there? Cherry? Sister Cherry? I have blah, 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 blah. Anyway, back there. straighten her leg out, God can do anything. Amen. Right where you're sitting today, we're not going to ask you to do anything but just receive. I want you to open your heart today. Believe something for your family today. Things can change. If you've come with worry and depressed depression on your mind of all the worries. Today is the day that you can find deliverance and freedom today, right where you're sitting. Let the Word of God do in you today. And at the end of the service, right where you're sitting, we're going to just receive communion. And we welcome everybody to be a part of that. One quick other memory. Brother Charlie and his wife would travel with us. And it happened to be one time that Brother Gary and I and Brother Charlie, we were headed to a meeting. All the others was in the other van, I guess. I don't remember what it was. And so as we were headed towards Ballinger, I think that was it, Brother Charlie looked over and there was a hay field and full of those big round bales of hay. And the farmer had so happened to wrap them up in white paper. And Brother Charlie looked over and said, "Oh my goodness, there's a marshmallow farm." That's where our marshmallows come from. Oh my gosh. We couldn't think of anything else the rest of the trip. So when you pass that, you think of a marshmallow farm, okay? Oh my gosh. Can we, right where you're sitting, let's give a praise, a hand clap of praise to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I didn't finish my story. So we all got almost to Texarkana, and we were so full of it, I'm telling you, we were about to explode with joy. Brother North saw a place on the side of the road. He just pulled that van over. We slid that door open, and every one of us got out and run around the van. Cars just passing down, thinking we were crazy. But I'm telling you, we got back in that van and we made it to the Whataburger, I think. So praise God. And that's what I'm feeling today, doing a run around. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go to our next verse right quick. Psalms 30 and verse 5. And I want to pull a portion from that verse. As you see it there, that says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." So pertaining to Resurrection Sunday, I'm using this verse as my title. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we can only imagine. We can only try to imagine the sorrow that gripped the hearts of the followers of Christ on that particular weekend. Understand, their master had died. The miracle worker that they knew and had seen had died. The healer had died. The teacher of truth had died. The Prince of Peace had died, laid still in a cold, dark tomb. And it shouldn't have surprised them. It's not like Jesus didn't know it was coming. And he took many opportunities to tell them about his impending death. But he was also careful to tell them of his resurrection. He was careful to tell them that, yes, they would see him betrayed. And yes, they would see him condemned to die. And yes, they would see him beaten and bruised and bloody. And they would see him crucified on a cross. And early in his ministry, he told them, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so also must the Son of Man be lifted up. Remember, in the Old Testament, the bronze serpent was a symbol of judgment for sin, and it was lifted up on a pole, which is exactly how Jesus died. He warned them repeatedly that he would die and would be in the heart of the earth. But just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so was the Son of Man in the heart of the earth. But just as that whale could not hold Jonah, neither could death or the grave hold Jesus. He had told them, I lay down my life, Brother Tony. No man can take it from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. Jesus did not conceal his death, nor his resurrection. But throughout the entire weekend, the disciples were fearful. The women were weeping, and the earth was sorrowful, if you please, even though Jesus had foretold his resurrection. Let me ask, how many know that there is a certain degree of disappointment and despair when we don't remember the promises of God very well? There are times when we don't keep the promises of God in the forefront of our minds and hearts. And guess what? That makes it easy for the enemy to come in. We have to keep his word in our forefront of our minds. I remember my mom, and on our dinner table, she kept a small ceramic container shaped like a loaf of bread, and in the top of it was cut out, and it was full of these little cards, and it could have been 100 or so of those that pertained to the promises of God. Everyone had a scripture, so each day she would pick one of those out and read it for herself as a promise of God. And her favorite promise, Sister North, and I've heard you quote this many times, that she had, and she memorized it to the T, from Psalms 121, 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And she could quote it, and she would. All of Jesus' followers were having a hard time of doing just that. They forgot his word to them. Notice with me the way that John describes the same event from his account. We don't have it on the screen, but it's just simply John 20 and verse 1. It says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark. Now let's take a moment and let's look at this word dark. It was physically dark because it was early, but I happen to believe it was also emotionally dark. It was dark in many hearts because they forgot the promise. They forgot and didn't understand the promise of resurrection. That death would not be the end, but Brother Gary, it would be a brand new beginning. That his death would bring life, and that he would live again. And so Mary came to the tomb early in the day when it was still dark. But the darkness in the physical realm was no match for the blackness which possibly had invaded her soul and her heart and her mind. I think you would agree with me that we get like that sometimes. We have those periods of darkness, don't we? I know I have, and I'm a pastor. And yet, thankfully, they come to pass and not to stay. We have those dark nights of the soul when things seem so bleak and so disappointing and so discouraging. I know what I'm talking about, believe me. That for a season we then lose our focus and we lose our perspective and we lose sight of the promises of God. Our remembrance of the promise is crowded out then by the overwhelming sense of dark and dismal disappointment of the hour that we are in. But I want to remind us this morning, with the literal resurrection of Jesus from the dead comes a living hope for all of us. The hope is that though things may be dismal and it may still be dark, that doesn't mean that God is not at work. Amen, somebody. It doesn't mean that He is not right now raising up what we've had to bury. Understand, this is for somebody this morning. I don't want to debate the issue of what day Jesus was crucified on, because some people like to do that. But for the sake of our discussion this morning, let's say that it was on a Friday. There have been both songs and sermons that have been delivered by using this phrase almost every year at this time. In fact, I saw it this very week on social media where someone had posted S.M. Lockridge's title from way back, his sermon, and it was called "It's Friday, But Sunday's A-Comin'." And there also are a number of artists. You can look it up on YouTube. They're singing that song. Wonderful song. And so this morning, if I can just borrow that for a few moments for my message. What I want to tell you today is that with God, there was always a Sunday after a Friday. There is always a Sunday after a Friday. Friday is representative with the darkness and with bleakness. But Sunday is symbolic of deliverance and resurrection and restoration. Thank you, Lydia, for your testimony. So you may be here today and you may be hurting. Your soul may be reeling from a Friday experience. Your dreams have died and your hope seems buried. Well, I just want to tell you that it might be Friday right now in your life, but guess what? Sunday's a-coming. Would you look at somebody beside you and tell them, Sunday's a-coming. Have you seen that TikTok? That little lady gets home from church and she's so upset. She says, I don't like for people to turn to me and tell me something that the pastor is preaching. I don't want to have them to breathe in my face into me. Oh, it's funny. That's all right. Just keep your distance. That's all right. See if you can identify. Let's see if we can learn something from this story. It was Friday, but Sunday was coming. It was Friday and Jesus was dead on a tree. That was on a Friday, but Sunday was coming. It was Friday and we find that Mary was weeping. It was Friday and the disciples, Sister North, are now scattered, running in every direction. It was Friday and the disciples had locked themselves in a room for fear. That was on a Friday, but Sunday was a coming, Brandon. It was Friday and the hearts of men were black with disappointment. Women were wailing and men were muttering and kids were crying and Jesus' followers were now fearful. That was on a Friday, but Sunday was coming. It was Friday and the cynics were scornful. The doubters were doubting and the skeptics spoke with sarcasm. That was Friday, but again, Sunday was coming. It was Friday and dreams had been shattered. Hope had been lost and belief had been buried. But that was on Friday. Sunday was soon to come. It was Friday and the forces that oppress and afflict and infect and inflict pain were seemingly now in control. But that was because it was Friday. Sunday was coming. It was Friday and Pilate thought he had washed his hands of all of that trouble. The Pharisees were now strutting around and they were laughing and they were boasting. They were in great celebration, but they did not know that it was only Friday, but Sunday was to come. And when the clock of time rolled around and Sunday morning came, and it was still dark by all appearances, but as Mary approached the tomb, she saw that the stone had been taken away away from the door, and Jesus wasn't there. And the angel said, he's alive. Now listen, and I'm almost through here. The Bible says in Matthew 28:2, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord had descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door. Notice that there was a great earthquake. The ground shakes, the earth trembles, and the angel of the Lord removed the stone. That tells me that when God gets ready, watch this now, he will shake things up. He will loosen what has been tightened and open what has been sealed. When God gets ready, there will be some shaking going on in our lives. And in reading the various accounts, listen, you will find there is no indication that Mary responded to that earthquake. The angel was there and told her simply to not fear, but see, Jesus is not there, that he is risen. Listen, there are times that God can be shaking things up and loosening things up and opening things that were sealed and bringing forth deliverance. And you won't know it at first and even understand it at first. But just know, he's working something out for you and for me. If you believe that, can you say amen? He's already in your tomorrows, moving on your behalf. Do you remember the story of Job? This is recorded in Job 23. Here's what he said. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. And backwards, I can't perceive him. But on the left hand where he does work, but I can't behold him. He hideth himself over on the right hand, but he knows the way that I take. He knows where I'm at right now in that moment, in that dark moment. And when he has got through trying me, when all that thing I'm going through, he's there with me and knows what's going on. When it's through, Job said, I shall come forth as gold. Hallelujah. Mary came while it was dark. And imagine with me, her heart was dark. She didn't even recognize that God was moving some things for her. She didn't realize that God was opening up what she was worried about being sealed up. Now, here is a word that I believe is for not just someone this morning, but we can take it all for ourselves. In the middle of our doubts, in the middle of our disappointments, understand that God is shaking some things loose this very day for each one of us. And I can believe that he's shaking some things up and bringing some things out. And what's going to result from that is that we're all going to go to the next level. He can do it. A new level of victory in our lives. We do not have to walk every day as a defeated foe, a defeated person. We are victors. We're not the victim. We can walk in victory every day. Amen. And we all need to know and be reminded that the Lord is quite aware of every little thing in our lives that make the difference when we are in much pain and facing the dilemmas of our life. And yes, he carefully observes our faithfulness in the face of overwhelming odds. He's looking. He's wanting to see how you're going to react. How you going to do through going through that storm? Let me end with this story this morning. There was a church that went into an underprivileged neighborhood and into the housing projects and started bringing kids to church. Noisy, rowdy, dirty, and more often than not, given to words that weren't nice at all. Brother Gary, you can testify to those things, being a bus driver. But on one Sunday, listen to this, one of the Sunday school teachers had a very special lesson. Tara, in fact, it was one of those lessons that stayed with her all week long, leading up to the time to teach it. It was about heaven, and it seemed as if there was a holy hush that came over the class that morning. And as the teacher pulled for the hearts of these kids, let me stop and say something. Let me just tell those working with our children Wednesday nights and Sundays, don't ever think that one hour or two doesn't matter and the children are not getting it, because they are getting it. You bring into that class what God has given you and share it with the children, and then leave it to the Holy Spirit to do His work in their hearts. Amen? He'll do it. We just need to put the word into them and let Him do it. So on with the story. In that Sunday school class, each week was a young girl who never spoke. And it was emphasized, never. While the other kids talked, she sat very still and very quiet. While others sang, she was quiet, always present, always listening, always speechless, was this little girl. But on this day, the teacher talked about seeing God and eyes that did not have to cry anymore. And she talked about hearts that would never be broken again. On this Sunday morning, the speechless, silent little girl was captivated then by the words coming forth from an anointed teacher. Teachers, don't think that your gift doesn't matter, because it does. And in the middle of the lesson, all of a sudden, this little girl blurted out, "Teacher, is heaven for girls like me?" I can only imagine what this must have done to the heart of that teacher. And can you imagine in that moment what this would have done to the heart of God on that day? Yes, yes, most certainly, the teacher quickly responded, "Heaven is for girls like you and boys like you." And I can say yes to all of us today under the sound of my voice. Heaven is for us today. It may be a Friday right now in your life. Things may be dark and may be dismal, but don't worry, because your Sunday is here today. Praise God. We can all take hope from the resurrection story of Jesus, because you see, the same God that raised Jesus up from the dead will work on your behalf to bring about the deliverance that you might need, to get you from darkness to deliverance. And as the title of my message says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. What is it that you're needing on this resurrection morning? Woo! It may be Friday to you at this moment, but I want to tell you to lift your head and lift your heart and look on the horizon and be filled this very day with new hope. Sunday is here, and the Spirit of the Lord is here to do a work in each of our lives. He'll renew us today in our hearts, no matter how long you serve God. Now, we're going to receive communion here in just a few moments. And as we are doing so, let's allow then, as you're sitting there, allow the Spirit of Almighty God to fill your heart, first of all, with His love and His peace. And then I want you to give to Him every hurt and every need and every struggle and every problem that's been weighing you down. And just know today, that Easter miracle, He is the miracle worker, and He can do for us in just a few moments of time that would take years for a counselor to do. So we're going to bring the communion to you. Amber, would you come up? Galen, come on up to the keyboard. I've asked Amber to sing. And then Brother Gordon, Brother Gary, would you come? We have our communion cups here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Do you need to stay back there, brother? You got it? Okay. Okay, Brandon, you want to come? Brother Gary, just pass those out on your side. Brandon, would you pass that out on the left side? All right, let's go ahead and have Amber do her song. Let the Spirit of the Lord talk to your heart today, just as you're sitting there today. made a blunder. I ordered these on Wednesday, got them in on Thursday, Amazon, and I thought they had the wafer in it. Didn't have a wafer. So Brandon's going to get us some. Huh? Oh, everybody's got a bag? Oh, my gosh. Y'all got a bag? Oh, Brandon's going to be surprised. You can do a fishy. How about a little fishy in there or something? Oh, we got bread. I like the little bag, though. Tell him not worry about it. Oh, you got some, too. Oh, my gosh. She's got bread. You can do however you want to do it. Hallelujah. If you want to partake of the bread that they're going to have here, or you can do a little. Bring my bag. Let's see. Avery, would you go get my bag off of my desk? The little bag. Praise God. Michelle, y'all didn't know what you were doing. Y'all are. Well, she's going to get me one. I'll use hers. Yeah, we got it. Look at this. Oh, thank you. That's what I need. Okay. And it's so sweet because Rachel did not know. Yeah, I get one out of that. Rachel did not know what she offered to bring bread and have it for us today. And I said, well, thank you, but I've got the wafers and the juice on. And so, but is she back there cutting something? Good, okay. And if she can go through there, if y'all want to partake of it, it's some bread that she made. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How awesome. After our communion, would y'all just you have a song? Maybe you could sing a congregational song that you could play. One that you could play. Because they're going to be, or you could just play the keyboard. And we're going to be doing something. Elders are going to go through and anoint oil on anybody that would like. So, okay. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to talk about the community for just a minute. Sister Rachel cutting up bread too. Got a cup. Everybody. We want you to partake of this. It's not real wine, I promise you. It's grape juice. All right, you want to check up on, I know she's doing that. You want to just check and see what she's cutting up some bread. I know. She had some. She wanted to. Did you? Okay, that's all right. Thank you, Rachel, for thinking about that. I told them that you had called me, and I said, well, I have the wafers. So, sure enough, she had bread. Thank you, Lord. Let me just talk to you for just a second about it. Communion is a picture of Jesus' death on the cross. And so what does communion mean to most of us as Christians? First of all, it's a reminder of Christ's suffering for us. Jesus died for our sins. He died for our sicknesses, our diseases, and all of our pains. Anybody ever have pain? Y'all know what pain is. Both small and great pains. And I just got to testify, Amber, about something. I was sitting there and I was hurting in my leg. But when you ask us to stand up, oh my gosh, I stood up and all the pain went away. Amen. Amen. I was walking good. Thank you, Amber, for being obedient to the Spirit. And He did all these things so we could be free from them all. Jesus carried that provision for us on the cross. And because he overcame, we can overcome in our lives. Can you say amen to that? Because Jesus overcame, our spiritual issues can be dealt with, meaning we can be reconciled back to God, join the family of God, surrender our hearts to him, and make him Lord and Savior in our lives. And because Jesus overcame, guess what? Our soulish issues can be dealt with. We can experience God's peace. Talking about our soulish realm, that's our mind, our will, and our emotions. He can heal. He did that on the cross for our healing of those areas. We can have great peace when people in the world don't know anything about it and it's chaotic. And you can be in the midst of all of that and still have peace in your heart. Thirdly, because Jesus overcame, our physical issues can be dealt with. We have provision for healing. Jesus made the provision for all three of these areas because of what he suffered on the cross. Let me give you one more verse. Isaiah 53:5. This is from the New Living Translation. Here's what it reads. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins, beaten so we would be made whole, whipped so we could be healed. And that wasn't just a little bit of whacking on the back a little bit. They had metal in that whip, and it jagged to pieces of flesh from his back, whipped to almost death. What Christ did for us was for salvation, for freedom, and healing to come to our spirit, soul, and body. And when we partake of the communion here in just a second, we not only were remembering what he did, but guess what? Today, Sunday is here, and we're taking hold of these very things and appropriating them for ourselves again today. Now, if there's something going on in your body or in your heart, you take this communion today and then allow his spirit to work in you. And listen, if you have something going on in your family, why don't you consider taking communion at home? Just with you and the Lord. In your quiet time, do that. We were talking about doing this more often. We don't do it often enough. We need to do it more. So here's the scriptures. This is from 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. For I have received of the Lord, Paul said, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take the cracker. Go ahead. I'm taking two crackers. A little fishy. Thank you, Lord. His body was broken for us. He tells us to do this, to remember it often, he said. In verse 25, after the same manner also, he took the cup which he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This you do all as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. And guess what? He's coming again. I want to be ready. I want to deal with my mess now. Deal with your heart. Let him deal with your heart right now. I don't want to wait till I stand before him on that judgment day. It's going to be too late if I got junk in my heart, Brandon. Let's take it, remembering the blood that he shed. Oh, Jesus, thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. We worship you. We magnify you. We glorify you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, just a few more minutes. Brother North, can you come down now? I've asked Brother North and Brother Gary if they will come, and Tony, you can be with Brother Gordon and Brandon, if you'll assist Brother Gary. I've just asked them to take some oil here, and they're just going to come through the congregation and just anoint you with oil on your forehead. And they want to pray a blessing over you. Now, if you don't want them to do that, then you just say no thank you. It's okay. But they're going to just take a moment. And if they have a word, they'll share it with you. All right, do y'all, if you want to play something, or you just want to play softly, whatever you want to do, that'll be fine.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name.
Yes, just let the Holy Spirit do his work right where you're sitting today. Praying a blessing
Jesus,
over you. Bless them today, Lord.
Like
thank you for strength. Thank you for help.
After
thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. We praise you today.
Jesus,
we glorify you today.
Jesus,
thank you, Jesus. Thank
Jesus,
you, Jesus. Knows what's up going on in our lives.
Let all
we can tell him. We're just blessing you today. I thank the Lord for you today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
But there's something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about
can you just worship the Lord right now? Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Lord, I thank you today. I thank you today for our singers, for our musicians. Lord, thank you. Thank you today, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Speak to their hearts. He can open their hearts. He can open the blind eyes, the spiritual eyes, for them to see where they're at and to see truth. Amen. Amen. All right, we've got one more thing. Hallelujah. Oh, they're praying. Hallelujah. Stretch your hands out here to them. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we receive it today. We receive your peace today. We receive strength today. We receive a clear mind today. Joy in our hearts. A reason to get up in the morning. Thank you for hope. Thank you for Brother Aiden over there. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. He's going to be a voice that can't be stopped. Amen. Amen. I need a hug. Hallelujah. He's going to be a voice in the wilderness. Hallelujah. He may not eat wild honey and locusts like John the Baptist, but I guarantee you, you're going to hear him.